Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, good morning. My name's Nick Moosebatzer, Commander-in-Chief, tiptv.co.uk. The date, Friday, 17th of October. We're here 10 a.m. every day covering markets and sport. Live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose.
Good morning and welcome along to the Premier League Sports Show here on Tip TV. The Premier League's back. International football is over. It got better and better as the week went on, but there's nothing like the bread and butter of the Premier League. I'm delighted to say, join us today to talk ahead of the big fixture of the weekend. I'm delighted to say, Ed Fulton from Sports in the Next. Ed, good morning to you.
Nigel, good morning.
What's business going to be like now with the Premier League back compared to the international break last week?
Good, but they're not, let's be honest, they're not the best bunch of fixtures we could have hoped for, I think. There's some good games, but having gone up and down and looked into them in some depth, you're still struggling a bit to find. You've got some short price jollies, really. Arsenal heavy favourites, Man City heavy favourites, Chelsea heavy favourites, and there's not too many games that are, you know, headline games, I wouldn't say, but it's the Premiership, so every game should offer something. And we had a good week actually on the international stuff. It was quite a bit of business, and it was nicely spaced out. You had the England game on Sunday. And then there were games on the Monday and the Tuesday as well. And a lot of favourites getting turned over. We talked about the Dutch were going to struggle in Reykjavik, and they did. 80% possession, and yet they got beat 2-0. So that was a good result for us. But, yeah, good to have the Premiership back.
Yeah, back it is. And also Wally Downs, former Wimbledon midfielder and also QPR coach. How are you?
That's right, Nigel. Good, yourself?
Yeah, very well. Looking forward to the Premier League this weekend?
Yeah, I am. But a little bit of a different slant on it. These are the sort of games and weekends that make the Premier League for me, because although it's, you know, you look at it and think it's not a great betting proposition, you know, this is where teams get spun over all the time, and that's what makes the Premier League so exciting.
Yeah, we're looking at some of the games in the Delta. One of the big games we're not talking about is QPR again, one of your former coaches against Liverpool. Big game for Harry, that one.
Yeah, it is. The pressure's been mounting on Harry. He doesn't get a lot of flack in the media because he's got close links to it with his son Colm and Jamie in the Mail and on Sky, so he gets away because, you know, he's good for the media, but I think the pressure's mounting on him there a little bit now. You know, you hear lots of whispers in football all the time, but I don't think he's got too many more games without getting a win if he can survive there.
Yeah, 4-7 he is to be the next Premier League manager to go. Will he last through to Monday morning? Jamie Banks from Tip TV, our betting experts here. Right. Jamie, alright?
Yeah, good, thanks mate. Short price favourites, happy days.
A bit rough today on this panel. This panel's showing you off to what you are. We all look elegant and good looking. Yeah, you're a bit rough there.
Sorry mate.
Alright, no worries. Anyway, enough of Jamie's sartorial and youthfulness. Let's have a look at the big game to start off the Premier League weekend. It's the Saturday afternoon clash, the first game in Manchester City against Tottenham. And these are the bookies' prices. Man City are 1-2 to win this. Jamie, your side, Tottenham are 13-2. Do you have much hope?
No, I don't. It pains me to say it, but people keep saying to me, if they play like they did against Arsenal, they might nick a draw. If they play like they did against Arsenal, they'll nick a 2-1 loss. And I probably wouldn't be too disappointed with that either.
If they play like they did against West Brom, they lose 4-0.
Well, that's the thing with this match. That goals have been the thing in recent times. Haven't there been 30-odd goals in the last 6 games? I don't think there'll be that many come tomorrow, because I think we have to look at it. There's European football coming up for both sides. I don't think they'll be going all guns blazing, but yeah, I don't see Spurs winning this one.
Yeah, 1-2, I'm sure they'll be the cornerstone of most accumulators with Wally. Everyone's going to put them in as the home bankers. Do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of value with the -1 for Man City. I think they were 21-20 yesterday summer or so. Again, you look, how will the managers approach it? I've got a feeling that Man City will probably rest a couple because they've got a really tough trip to Russia, Yaya Toure, 1 or 2 of those. Tottenham have got the Europa, which is probably Pochettino's only hope of winning something this year. So, you know, he may be looking that way as well, but I think it'll be a comfortable Man City win.
Yeah, -1, obviously, last year was 6-0 goal after 14 seconds, and probably not one of the best for the games for the sport in the next 2013-2014 best result compilations.
No, there was a few boys pulled off the roof to stop them from jumping on that one, but in fact, both games, it was an aggregate of 11-1. They got, it was 5-1 they got beat at White Hart Lane. So it's quite an important game for Spurs, I think. City's form has actually been better on the road this year. If you look at the home Premiership table, Man City are in 13th. I think they haven't won in their last two games at home. And Spurs have scored on the road. So it might be a good matchup for Spurs. City not so good at home. Spurs seem to be better away from home. I think that this is a big game for Spurs in the sense that they looked good at the beginning of the season and then they got stuffed by Liverpool. And a bit like Arsenal, they're beating up on bad sides, but they need to put in a performance against one of the top sides to stabilise themselves and then move forward. Otherwise, it's just going backwards again. And I think they've got a chance, if they can get to half-time and be competitive, I've got a feeling they could get something out of this game. I don't know why. Mm. And I think the supremacy, 1.25, 1.45, is pretty big. And I wouldn't necessarily be prepared to pay it. I don't know why. I just think it's... they have to go there and have a go.
I don't think he's got the team to do that. I think there's a little bit of distrust in the camp there. There's some of the senior players there. Certainly Adebayor, he's gone the other way a little bit again now, I think. And Pochettino hasn't got his own players there properly yet. And I think there's a little bit of distrust in the camp there, and I don't think they'll put it in
for I was sitting next to us, I was doing the American Sports Through the Night, and I was talking to a guy next to me, he's a big Spurs fan. And I was putting a case together for Spurs, and he wasn't having any of it. He was saying, we're going to get stuffed. But and maybe that's the case, but just in terms of the prices, goals are again quite high. I've just got bookings I had a look at. There's been a couple of makeups, 75 and 60 in the last couple of games. And Moss is refereeing. Now, people don't know much about Moss. He's given out 3 reds in 5 games this year, and we're going 38-42. So whilst I'm not tipping it up, I do think that that line will be brought up when people realise that. He averaged 46 last year. So on that basis, the danger is Man City score early and it becomes a bit of a...
Well, that's exactly what happened in the first game. They scored after 14 seconds with 3-0 up at half-time and went on to win 6-0. A difference of opinion from the panel. Wally thinks that minus one Man City could be the way forward, a little bit bigger than even money, wasn't it? It
was 21 bit or 20.
And Ed thinks that Tottenham may put up a bit of a fight. And pleased to see John Moss, the former Culture Club drummer, having a job as the referee in this game, which is nice to see him come back. We'd like to see Boy George refereeing the Stoke v Sunderland game a bit later on. OK, let's move on to the Arsenal v Hull match. Arsenal home bankers for this one with many bookmakers. A repeat of the FA Cup final. Arsenal here, 2-5, a similar price to Manchester City. Wally, start with you this one. What do you think on this one?
I thought Steve Bruce has bought well in the summer and he's got a solid side there. I think Arsenal will win, but I think there's a chance of both sides to score. They are very formulaic, Hull. And Arsenal, obviously, if they're fluid and they're playing well, you know, they will score goals. But Hull, from set plays, have always got a chance to score against the Arsenal. So I think Arsenal will win, but I think there'll be danger with Hull scoring a goal.
Yeah, obviously, Ed, from a punting point of view, I mean, I'm always a punter that comes from the viewpoint of that. If any team has a match in the Champions League, I want to oppose them on the week before. Mm. And I think that, you know, Arsenal here in Champions League action against the whole side, nothing to play for. And we've seen Arsenal's home form stuttery, really, not scoring many goals. And 2-5, that could be a bit of a layer, especially the sell of the Arsenal supremacy at 1-4.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot of issues here around the Arsenal. There's no Ozil, no Chambers, no Koscielny.
That's a positive.
Well, OK. Well, he's played quite well recently. And, of course, Wenger loses a lot of the players, you know, across Europe for the internationals. Keeper goes to play for Poland two games in four days and so on. So he has lost a lot. And let's not forget, the cup final took them to extra time. So Hull can be a pretty dogged outfit.
You've also got to remember that the reason Arsenal are on the downside there with their internationals going away is Hull haven't got many internationals.
Yeah.
So, they're better players, you know.
They're much better players. Would you rather have that or would you have Hull having... You know, rested up and had a nice...
Hull are probably in a better position for Hull than Arsenal are in for Arsenal this season.
Yeah, and again, you 1-4, 1-6, you've got to be pretty sure that Arsenal are going to start, destroying lesser sides as Hull are. But I don't think there's any evidence that they're doing that. And they have won the 5 out of 5 against Hull, but, you know, some of that is going back a few years. So that's a stat that's not particularly... And Hull can score. So... Yeah, I'd be wary about this. I think there's question marks about all these jollies now we're talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's just sort of jumped off the page there for me, Jamie, is that the total goals in the first game, Tottenham v Manchester City, we said, was it something like 55 goals in... Was it 50,
30 goals 30, in six games.
30, you got the average in goal game. This game here, Arsenal v Hull, last season I think it was 2-0. Nicholas Bent that scored very early on and they just done a professional 2-0 job. And there's only one tick difference. 1-3. I would definitely turn around and say that the Tottenham could have produced more goals.
It was 3-2 at the Emirates to Arsenal, and it was 3-0 when Arsenal went to Hull. So there were five goals and three goals. So it's eight in the two clashes last year.
I disagree with you. I was at the Arsenal. It was 2-0 to Arsenal. 3-2 was the cup final.
Okay. 3-2 is the cup
final. Oh, sorry. Beg your pardon.
Nicholas Bentner scored, and that's how bad Hull
were. 3-2 was the cup final. Yeah, five goals in two games. Yeah. So, yeah, no, absolutely right.
So I think 3-2-9 might be a little bit of a sell there.
Yeah, I personally, I think this is going to be quite a tight game. I think what will happen is Hull do make it difficult for big teams. We saw them against Man City making it difficult in the cup final. Obviously, Arsenal made it quite difficult for themselves in periods, but Hull did make it hard for them. And I think they'll do the same again here. I think draw half-time, Arsenal full-time is where I'm looking. I think that's about 10-3 or so. And I think that's something I'd be interested in there because I just think Hull will make it difficult and Arsenal, as they do over the years, nick it right at the end.
That's a very profitable format if you do play that. Draw half-time, Arsenal full-time. And I think Lamar Kachagugu, former frontman, is the referee in this game. OK, let's have a look at Burnley v West Ham. Out of all the games this weekend, this is one that doesn't really fill me with much confidence. But from a betting point of view, it's quite interesting because the bookies can't split them. West Ham, marginal favourites here at 13-8. Wally, you've probably seen a bit more West Ham than most this season. Are you impressed with what Sam Allardyce has done?
Yeah, well, Sam's a great manager, you know, and everyone's sort of complaining about the first year or the second year in the Premier League being dire. You know, he does look at it with a long-term view of it. You know, just get there, stay there, consolidate, buy better players year four, year five. You know, that was his long-term plan, and that's coming to fruition at the moment. He's bought better players in the summer. They're a far more attacking side now. They've got more pace in the side without Andy in the side. And I think that Burnley's lack of goals will cost them in this game because, you know, they're not making great strides in the opposition's half because they've lost the two centre-forwards who held them in such good stead last year. Mm. You know, I was at QPR last year, and the big thing about Burnley was their two centre-forwards played every game and one of them would score every game. You know, so they haven't had that this year, so their mainstay has been taken away from them. I think West Ham and that material for this game.
And that material at 13-8. You probably a little bit more value on the spreads there. 0.1, your choice. Mm. You pay your money, you take the choice. Burnley, the bookies' favourites to go down here in it. And West Ham, been very, very impressive, scoring goals.
Yeah, with the exception of when Southampton went there, they made them look fairly average. But other than that, they had a good go at Old Trafford before losing. Nice solid win against QPR last time out. They're playing some good football. Burnley are hard to break down. They've got, three nil-nils in the last five games. They've got a fighting 2-2, 90-minute equaliser against Leicester. So, that you know, they don't score many goals and they're not going to lie down. Again, I think... But I think that supremacy line is not... I'm not saying it's wrong because the boys know a lot more than me than I, but I think that's going to change. I think it will flip and by kick-off. I think West Ham will be slight favourites.
Yeah, I think also as well, because you're located in London and the city, all the audience we have here, West Ham are a popular team with punters, aren't they? You know, when you're up on the match comes around 3 o'clock, you're going to have more West Ham fans playing on the spread index than Burnley fans. Burnley fans, you know, they're not going to really get involved in spread action if they do. There's a very handful of them. So it's going to be a popular kind of trade for people to get involved in.
Yeah, and I've seen on a couple of tipping websites and, you know, football chat things, West Ham are being put up as one of the bets of the weekend as well. So you factor all that in, people start to think that if they are one of the bets of the weekend, let's get with them. But yeah, Burnley no pushovers, but I do think the way West Ham are playing, they've got a really good chance to go there. Attack them, have a go. Sacco's got five goals in five games. He'll be popular as well if you want to buy his goal minutes with us and probably high teens, low 20s, something like that, and hope for a hat-trick or something like that. I think the Hammers look at a bet here, but, you know, it might be just by one goal.
Yeah, I tell you what I like, Jamie. I like pieing the supremacy at 0.1, getting with West Ham, and then having a little hedge on 0-0 draw. Because I can't see anything other than a West Ham win or a 0-0 draw. Or lay Burnley with it.
I agree. I don't think there'll be goals in this. I think West Ham, if they're going to win, will nick it probably 1-0, maybe 2-0 at a push. Wally said there he thinks the goals will cost Burnley in this game. I think the goals will cost Burnley all season. I think the lack of goals will mean they will go down and they'll probably go down bottom of the table. They just can't score goals. West Ham have looked good as well. Spurs played them first game of the season. I was there. They look a good side and Spurs nicked it at the end. But I fancy West Ham to win this, but yeah, I agree. I fancy West Ham to win it by probably just...
If West Ham get their noses in front at any stage, it'll be difficult for Burnley, because the Burnley will then get anxiety or set in. They would try and flood people forward, yeah, and then bang, they'd get done on the counter.
Mm. I always thought the old adage of football games, score goals, you win the games, and West Ham got goal scorers, yeah. Burnley haven't.
Revolutionary, that, isn't
it's
it?
A very, very, very simple format. Unfortunately, no 80s singer referee in this game, but apparently Marillion... Fish from Marillion is the fourth official.
Kevin Friend. Kevin Friend. Yeah.
Was he not haircut?
He's a friend. I think he was. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Flock of seagulls.
Be a fantastic day that will. Okay. Crystal Palace against Lee Chelsea. The next game, the final game we're looking at here, and the only reason we got this in is because Moose has insisted that we put Crystal Palace in, and we have to all have a bet on Crystal Palace to win it. So I know a little bit about betting, but I think that if you put £20 on Crystal Palace to win this game, it means you lose £20, Wally.
No, well, I'm going the other way. I'm going Palace to win 4-0.
No. Well, he's home at lunch, isn't he?
He's home at lunch.
You like the lunch? You're going for lunch, are you?
Yeah, I'm out for lunch. I'll try and talk him into back in Chelsea, because I can't see any other result whatsoever. The fans are great down there and they're getting behind the team. I'm not too sure how good the manager is there. But the fans will definitely be at it. And their expectation, they don't fall down for volume when the opposition go in the lead at Palace. Now, some of the London clubs, if the opposition go in the lead, the fans get really sulky about it and get ratty, certainly. But at Palace, they keep going, they stick with them, and that encourages the team to keep going as well.
This is going to be a massive game for the world. But if they do win it, I mean, 15-2, the only way they're going to win this game, I think, it's by a 1-0 scoreline. I can't see Palace scoring two goals. I just can't see them scoring two goals. So, you know, if you're going to back Palace at 15-2, you fancy, you might well have a couple of quid on Palace to win 1-0.
The amount of possession and the amount of chances that Chelsea will create, it just tells you that they will score. You know, they create so many chances against better teams. You know, they'll keep the ball against Palace and it will just be an onslaught. If they don't get one early, it will just be an onslaught.
Mm. But the plus point for Palace backers of Vermoose, we've got to be a little bit positive for us here. The plus point is Chelsea play Champions League football again, and we make this point consistently throughout the show. And they need the points in Champions League after dropping points against Schalke at home. So... Is there a chance of Costa being rested, you know, with his saying he's injured, and Remy coming in, or Drogba coming in, or maybe Hazard has been influential? That's the team who's going to...
There's a danger of all four of them coming in.
Chelsea have had 9 players scoring goals, which is more than any other side in the Premiership. So Costa's been great, but they're scoring from everywhere. This was the fixture that cost them the title last year. They went there, they had, I think, 80% possession. Torres missed a hatful of goals. Lampard probably gave the game that meant he was gone, because he was very sluggish and off the pace. Palace beat them 1-0 and that was it. And Mourinho said that afterwards. So there'll be an element of anger, revenge. But, you know, there's Fabregas now, you know, running the show. I think this is the one heavy favourite that I would be happy to pay one and a half goals to get with. I think, well, he's just said it, they're going to make so many chances.
The difference you have here, though, just the difference you have here with Chelsea is that over last season, the season before, he would be the kind of manager that'd be 1-0 up, they'd take off the players, rest them for the big game ahead. But they keep going now, don't they? I mean, the amount of goals...
They've got such a high-quality squad of 25 now. Mm. You know, they could pick any team to go out and be favourites at the same price in this game. Mm. You know, you could pick from their squad. When Marino puts his team in, change it completely, and you wouldn't change the betting much. You might skin it a bit skinnier because of Costa, but that's it.
Yeah,
they're just a solid outfit. They seem to be playing so much of the football up. Remember last year, we're looking for through balls to try and get Torres in, and they're winning games. It was a bit kind of, you know, will they do it this week? This season, they're just, it's just like an onslaught, as you say, 90 minutes. And it's just hard to create. I can see City coming on top. I can see Arsenal coming on top. I can't see Chelsea coming. And this could be a hatful. This could be, sorry, Moose, but it could be, you know, 4-0, 5-0.
There's also against Palace, that with the other sides we were talking about, if Man City have got lots of possession, there's a chance of the counter. Quick players at front now. The Crystal Palace forwards, apart from Zaha, not really renowned. Their centre forwards are being sharp. We've got Chamakh going back there. He's not quick. He's not going to race away and get on the end of one and sneak you a goal, you know, on the counter attack. You just look and think they're going to be defending. Okay, they don't let one goal in. They clear the ball. They're not attacking. It's just coming back. It's going to be wave after wave. They're not going to spend too much time in Chelsea's half, and they haven't got the pace to beat them on the counter-attack.
The boys thinking they're going to be a heavy defeat for Moose. Not very good for us Monday morning, but can you give us any positive for Palace?
Look, there's not a lot more I can say about what the boys have said. For me, Chelsea win the game, and I'm with Ed on this. I think that it's probably the biggest favourite that I'd actually take on. I'd take here because I think Chelsea can't. I can't see them doing anything but winning this game. They are so, so good at the moment. You watch them everywhere on the pitch, everywhere from goalkeeper to strikers, top class. Everything they do, they go forward well, they move back as a unit. John Terry's still going, what a player he is. To be the age he is, but still know how to read the game like that, unbelievable, really. And for me, I like 2-0 to Chelsea because I just think they can score a goal nice and early and then they can do what they did, what they've done under Mourinho for years and just sit there. Because yep. Palace won't, I don't feel like Palace will threaten them. And I know what he just said about the pace on the break, it's not there, is it?
And Ivanovic didn't have a full game midweek, did he? Because he was a little incident in the game for Serbia. So he got a nice half off. So
you keep droning on about it.
Yeah.
Leave the jokes to me, Willie. Leave the jokes to me. Total goal minutes here. We've got on the caption here 34-8. That should actually be booking, so ignore that caption there. And the book referee in this game is Midur. Means nothing to me. OK, let's have a look at the high conviction tips. Well, first before we go into Ed's high conviction tips, what's your nap of the Premier League this weekend, Jamie?
I will have... Come back to me. There's one I've got in my head and I'm trying
to... I've only had 2 weeks to get it.
Sunday morning.
I found it. Draw half-time, Arsenal full-time. 10-3.
10-3, draw Arsenal full-time.
They're the bit of value with West Ham at 13-8.
West Ham 13-8. You've heard it here from the boys in the studio. But the man who is the pressures on every week to deliver the goods is Ed Fulton for Sport and Index. And what have you got for us, Ed, on the spread?
Well, kind of with Wally on one of them, we're going to sell the time of the first West Ham goal.
Wally's eyes are just lit up there. He likes the look of that one.
Yes. 53. So we're getting 53 minutes for them to go and score at Burnley. So obviously the sooner they score, the more you win. If they score on the stroke of half-time, 45, we're making 8 points. Obviously, if it goes beyond 53, if they don't score and makes up 90, we're going to lose. But I've got a feeling they're going to go for it, score early, and maybe go on and win the game as well. So that's number one. Second game, the other two, we haven't really talked about these games, but Newcastle-Leicester, to me that's got goals written all over it. Leicester are going to go and have a crack. Newcastle can score, and they're still playing for Pardew, despite what people are saying, but their defence is so ropey. I think both sides to score if you want to fix Dodds a bit in that, but I can see 2-2, 3-2, one way or the other. So let's buy goals at 2.95, I think that's nice. And it wouldn't be me without a bookings bet. Andre Mariner is refereeing this one, and he's 13 reds he had in 36 games last year, which is almost ridiculous. He's had a red already this year to get off the mark, and the history between these sides, it's there. And Sunderland this year, 70-65-70. I think Sunderland bookings alone will win this one. I think they're going to go there, they're going to have a real crack at Southampton, who are very solid at home, and Southampton hopefully will respond. Downside there is, I think, 30 upside. We could maybe get to treble figures. That's a bit optimistic, but I think I can see a 60, 70 or 80 make-up there. 10 for a yellow, 25 for a red. So let's... I really like this one, bookings at 14.
So that would be your strongest high conviction, one of the three?
Of those three, if you had to just do one, that would be my nap, yeah.
OK, so just a recap on Ed's bets here. Ed Fulton's gone for Burnley v West Ham, set of the first West Ham goal at 53 minutes. You get if you're doing it for a pound for every minute before 53. And unfortunately, if it goes after 53, you would lose a pound. Buy total goals in the Newcastle v Leicester game at 2.95. And buy the bookings in Southampton v Sunderland. If you are having a bet on anything the panel suggests, please do not gamble with what you cannot afford to lose. And if you want to go to our website, www.tiptv.co.uk, you'll see all our affiliate links through to Sporting Index and all our other different bookmaking partners to place any bets you wish on the weekend. Also, follow us on Twitter at @OfficialTipTV. When you said Andre, I thought you meant Peter, but it was Andre Mariner. But anyway, that's enough of the pop star theme for the referees this week. Thanks very much as always. Pleasure as always, Ed, Wally, Jamie. Thanks very much for joining us here on Tip TV on this Premier League preview. My name's Nigel Seeley. We'll see you same time, same place next week. But join us after the break when we look at all the other Premier League games.
现在你看, Tip 电视. I'm Richard Keys, and you're watching Tip TV.
Welcome back to the Premier League preview show here on Tip TV. These are the other games we haven't featured in the first part of the show. And the first match we're talking about is Everton at home to Aston Villa. Now, Everton have started this campaign in very, very poor fashion. No team in the Premier League has conceded more goals than Roberto Martinez's side. And if you look at this fixture throughout the years, both teams to score is always a very popular bet and a very wise bet if you use your statistics. Everton haven't won in their last five matches, which is a bit of a concern, but Aston Villa haven't won in their last eight matches against the Toffee Men. And I think they're going to come unstuck here. Everton are 3-5 to win this match. The draw is a 3-1 shot, and Aston Villa are 11-2. I can't see anything but a home win. I think both teams will score. I'm going for a 3-2 home win for Everton here. I fancy goals, but I fancy more goals for the blue corner rather than the corner from the Aston Villa side. Next game we're talking about is Newcastle against Leicester. If you go back through the history books here, goals are at a premium this match. Two nil-nils in their last six matches. But as you saw in the first part of the show, Sporting Index's Ed Fulton is tipping up a buy of total goals at 2.95. I can see that. A lot of goals in Leicester's recent games, 2-2 draw against Arsenal. Newcastle being involved in a couple of 2-2s as well. And maybe another Desmond, and a very tasty 14-1 could be the way to go. If you're looking for the outright winner, Newcastle are 6-5. They're playing for Pardew, in particularly Pape Cisse, and he could be a first bet to open the scoring here at 7-1. A very decent odds are there. So Leicester are 5-2, and the draw is 13-5. I think you might want to go buck the trend and go over in the goals, as Ed from Sporting Index has alluded to. Next game we have is Southampton against Sunderland. Now, 8-13, many people will be having Southampton as their bankers for this weekend. I think that's too short. 3-1 for the draw and 11-2 about the away side here. They played each other four times last season and Sunderland didn't lose one game. Southampton haven't won in eight matches against Sunderland. I know they're in form, but I'm sure their bubble's going to burst, Queen, and this could be a good time to catch them. I think Sunderland at 11-2 could be a decent wager. I also like the draw at 3-1. My best advice for you here is to back Sunderland double chance. They don't score many goals. I can't see many goals in the game. And a 0-0 could be on the cards at around about 8-1. But I think of all the short price favourites this weekend, Southampton are the ones to take on, in my opinion. One that certainly isn't worth taking on is Liverpool away at QPR. Now, QPR are a club in complete turmoil. Harry Redknapp has been backed into 4-7 favourites to be the next Premier League manager to lose his job. And unless he gets 3 points here, I think he could be handed his P45 by Monday night. Liverpool went to this here last season, or the season before, and won 3-0. Suarez was absolutely inspirational that night. They don't have Suarez, but they do have Sturridge back. He looks like he's going to play some part in this game. Raheem Sterling, if he's not too tired, may play a little bit of a part, maybe the first half. You know, he's a young lad, needs a bit of a rest. But one thing he's got is pace. And when you go up against Rio Ferdinand, Clint Hill and Richard Dunn, I think the pace is going to be the key factor here. Sterling to score on his comeback makes some appeal to me. I also like Sterling to be the man of the match. I can't see anything other than a Liverpool win here at 4-7, and maybe a Liverpool win to nil, which is 2-1. Queen's Park Rangers don't score many goals, only four this season. They play Charlie Austin up front on his own, and I think 11-2 is a little bit too big. Maybe punters might look at QPR, think they might get a draw at 3-1. Real Madrid come to Anfield in midweek, and they may have one eye on that. But I think this is a great opportunity for Liverpool to kickstart their season. And at 4-7, I think they're the only option. Stoke entertained Swansea in the Super Sunday. What's all that about Super Sunday? Stoke against Swansea. But Stoke have now started scoring goals. 12 goals in their last four matches. They've got a good record in this fixture as well. Two draws and a win last season against a Swansea side who started off in great fashion winning their first four but haven't won in their last five matches. I think this is a draw. I like 23-10 for the stalemate here. 6-4 you can get for Stoke. 21-10 you can get for the away win. And if you don't want to take the draw at 23-10, maybe a 1-1 draw, which is very generous at around about 7-1. But I think that's on as even in a game this time last year finished 1-1. And our final game, the Monday Night Football, West Brom 4-1 to beat Manchester United, 8-11. The draw is 3-1. It's all about goals. Goals, goals, goals. 55 goals in the last 11 matches between these two sides. Famously in Sir Alex Ferguson, it was a 5-5 draw in his last game as Manchester United manager. Last season, Manchester United went there and won 3-0. They will concede, there's no doubt about that. Only Burnley and QPR have failed to score against his Manchester United side. I think over 3.5 goals is a bet. I think both teams to score is a cracking bet. I think Manchester United may edge it, but 8-11, they're no value. Concentrate on the goals and you'll get some winners. Whatever you decide to do, please do not gamble. You cannot afford to lose. Follow us each and every day on www.tiptv.co.uk and follow us on Twitter @OfficialTipTV.
Hi, I'm Ray Wilkins and you're watching Tip TV.